Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Press me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Oh, I just pressed a button on Mark's big studio clock and it just said the letters 72, not a letter, a number.
We have in this studio a big clock because big what's clock. Useful is that people who have booked the studio will then know when they're going over time. Ah. Do you know how ineffectual the knowledge that you've gone over time is when you've booked a studio?
Right, okay. What do you mean, as in...
People do not give a fuck.
They
if you
don't.
Book for an hour, people are like, I did an hour and 15.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I fucking know.
So that rules, that's 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Let me tell you, I would say 100% of the people who you say that to will argue the toss. Welcome to Wrestle Me. We talk about studio bookings and wrestling. That's very much our USP.
Yes, I very much think there would have been a curfew for this event in the Miami Stadium that they've chosen. So
yeah.
let's make this very clear. Respect your landlord.
That is true. Listen, hey. Holy, what a good time to come in. Because we're about to talk about The Undertaker versus Triple H in a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania 28. So confident up to that
28?
Point. Should have just gone with it.
Yeah.
You can be wrong and then you can correct your mistakes. But the thing is, if you sound like a little Jesse who's scared of making a thing, then everyone will lose respect for you forever and you can never get it back.
And you smell what The Rock is cooking.
We're going to have hard times, baby.
Baking.
If you want to be the man, you've got to beat the man.
Wow.
Shawn Michaels is the referee in this. He has a little interview with Matt Stryker. Shawn Michaels had a really weird thing I don't quite understand, but his eyes went small,
yes,
like a squirrel's.
I was sort of thinking, I really noticed this time, the amblyopia, I think you call it. It's a lazy eye. You call it a lazy eye. But apparently, I read up on it, apparently it happened at a certain match. It went... Something went bonk, and his eye went bonk, and
really?
Now he's now his eye's off
you,
a bit.
When you hear about that sort of eye being off, that's one thing. But if you look at old photos of them, his eyes have got much smaller. The actual, not the eyeball.
Oh, what, the actual
your,
skin over the...
Yeah. I know he had that problem with that the eye, which is slightly sort of slower. But it's almost like... I don't know, it's like his eye hole.
His eyes are reclaiming...
The eye flesh around.
Eye flesh, yeah.
Eye flesh is growing over again. And so he's got a bit pinpricky. And nobody talks about it. Why are they talking about it?
Why are they
trying to hide?
What's he hiding under there?
It makes him look a little bit like a rural idiot. And I mean that absolutely with total respect.
Because a man who could execute an excellent kick to the chin.
Absolutely, but those little eyes make it look a little bit like he's been the victim of rural practices. In the build-up to his appearance on the earth.
That's what I worry about, that bloody that Isla White app they're testing out at the moment. This is when they all find out.
I bet that's what it's for. For years.
They just needed a reason to test it out on the island.
They're continually saying, hi, can we do an island blood test? And everyone's just like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Right. No.
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
Get off the island! A Okay, we've got to find another way in.
There's a mass pandemic. We need to figure out who's got it, who hasn't got it. And, you're all related.
They've got big hands like pans.
I don't mind slagging the Isle of Wight Festival off because... not the Isle of Wight Festival, the Isle of Wight. The only reason why I go to the Isle of Wight is because of the Isle of Wight Festival. Yeah. That's not on this year. I've been going for 9 years in a row.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's the Curse of Donaldson, but I'm saying it's the Curse of Donaldson. There was a lot of Brexit signs up.
Yeah.
Lot of flags.
There's a big boast
it's
about...
It's like Mansfield.
Yeah.
I'll say the same about Mansfield. I'll say the same about Hartlepool. Very proud nation.
Do you know what, Pete? I'll say it about everywhere that isn't a city.
I'll say it about anywhere that... Do we have those stats on Patreon?
Look, Pete, we're never ever going to be doing a live show in somewhere that isn't a city.
Right.
Right. We are safe for cities.
There.
Look, city people are the best people. We all know that. things I say that sound like jokes, but genuinely I sort of do believe.
nobody gets born a city person, really, though.
No, I know, and that's why
they're the best people. Because they're like,
I see you, my family. They decide who their family's going to be. And that is, the family is the city. And the city always welcomes them with open arms. It says, you'll be all right, son. I mean, obviously it doesn't work out for everyone.
No.
But...
white men.
But village people, Pete. Not the village people. They're very city people.
I saw the YMCA, you know, the Indian YMCA in Soho?
Yeah.
That
sounds like a big opening for a joke, doesn't it?
Well, it is, because it's Native American, obviously, but
yeah.
it put in my mind the fact that the policeman wouldn't be allowed in, the builder wouldn't be allowed in, just the Native American guy.
What there is the Indian YMCA.
Yeah,
because
you know more about London than
yeah.
me, because obviously...
But they would all be allowed in because you can go in. You can,
right.
You can get really good Indian food at the Indian YMCA.
Right.
It's fun to stay there, it really is.
But I didn't know... It was only because I had to walk towards you. I didn't know the Indian YMCA even existed.
The Indian YMCA is one of the best things in London.
Right.
Honestly, it's great. They do different curries every night, and it's cheap. It's really cheap.
Yeah.
And it's just great. But it is like going to India. You step in and everybody is properly Indian.
Right.
It's not like it's, I've been living in London for 3 days. Everyone is just like, it's like walking into an Indian embassy. It's brilliant.
Cool.
It's brilliant.
Well, what passed? I was like, why is this?
You've got to get in there.
What's going on here?
You've got to get in there. It is. Yeah, gone a long way off the notes.
I said the word amblyopia and we just went
off
on one.
It was, Jesus Christ, it was small eyes. Yeah, and then the match starts. It's the end of an era. Now, this is billed as such because it was supposed to be the last time that two guys from the Attitude Era faced off on a major show.
Right.
It was seen as, I think Undertaker, they are beginning to work out how he's winding down. Pretty much everyone going ahead from this point on, whenever they talk about the match they have with Undertaker, they begin at WrestleMania. They always sort of say, and they said to me I was going to break the streak. So they're beginning to have this thing about going, he's winding down.
Yeah.
Oh, little did they know. Here we are a decade on and still main eventing WrestleMania. There had been a... the other thing they're doing, obviously, is the sort of sense of Shawn Michaels is stepping further away from the business as well now. So this is going to be one of the last times we see him in a high-profile role within a WrestleMania. This all changed, of course, when the Saudi shows came along. So we begin to see, reunifications and the old stars brought back in a way that they couldn't really have perceived here when they were like, the natural thing to do is when these people get old is to allow them to leave gracefully. Obviously, then a check, appeared and everyone changed their mind on that.
And shaves their head.
So this being an end of an era was the idea that we are now putting to bed the Attitude Era and the last two great guys from it. And we won't be doing this year after year. 2 years previous to this at WrestleMania 25, The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels had both lobbied to get Jim Ross to commentate their match.
Right.
And they had, been essentially turned down. This time, Vince McMahon gave the go-ahead when Triple H and Undertaker both begged to have Jim Ross doing it.
He said he did describe a punch as carcinogenic.
That's good. I like it when it's strange and mad.
I was like, where's that come from?
The Undertaker was the person who really petitioned for Jim Ross.
Yeah.
And part of of the way that he swayed Vince McMahon is he said, well, Jim Ross was the voice of the Attitude Era.
Right.
So it would make sense in your silly thing about this end of an era to have him. And so Vince finally complied. What's funny about this is you'd think that this would be, because it involves Triple H, you'd think that this would be made more of, that this would be a big main event sort of spectacle. And actually, it's quite downplayed, oddly, for The Undertaker and Triple H. Neither of them have a particularly special magical entrance.
Mm.
You know, they just come out and get on with it.
It's fucking brilliant, though.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
It's a fucking brilliant match.
It's so good. And after seeing last year's Undertaker Triple H match, I was not looking forward to this in the slightest. When the Hell in the Cell got its own theme tune as it came down, I thought to myself, well, that's going to be the bit I enjoy the most. And now we're going on through a big plod.
When I saw a load of people standing around, I mean, the crowd, drinking from those horrible blue Bud Light can bottles. They're bottles, but they're made of metal.
Yeah.
And I'd rather... It would be like Robocop's knob. I would rather put my mouth on... It's just tinny. Really tinny sort of... I don't want it.
Shut up.
It's horrible. Cold.
Is it the beer?
And my hand's too cold.
Beer or the copper?
It's shit.
Yes.
And I just thought, no. This is going to be rubbish.
And the signs. Every single sign. Every year it will say... 18-1.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Every year, 19-1. Mm. And this year, all it says is 20-0.
Yeah.
No one thinks Triple H has a chance.
That said, though, Mark, one of them was LEDs. One of them had made their sign out of LEDs. And then 3 years later, who wins the Nobel Prize? Those three Japanese blokes who invented the blue LED.
Really?
That created modern televisions and everything.
They deserve it because that sign sounds amazing.
I bet
if you took that sign in now, they go, you can't have that.
Yes, and it's got a lithium-ion battery. Yeah, I mean, that could explode.
You could do anything with that.
Yeah.
You could push that in someone's eye. That's a crazy thing.
But it's
a bit like when you go to York Hall to see RevPro. They will not let you take in your own bottles of water, even if they're sealed. Because the amount of problems they've had over the years with people drinking their own fucking water needs to change. I don't want a queue right behind 50 people so I can get a fucking Diet Coke. I want to take in some water.
Yeah.
There is nowhere on earth that doesn't let you take in sealed water.
Or they should have a testing thing where you pour a little bit into a little vial and they test it that it's not, I don't know, mad fucking pure LED.
If I'm desperate to chuck something at someone at fucking RevPro, I'll go to the bar and I'll buy it and I'll chuck that.
Yeah.
There's no... Anyway,
I mean, fill my shoe full of batteries and throw it at them.
Exactly.
Or I'll just throw a battery at them.
Exactly.
I'll throw my phone at them.
Do you know what I'll do? I'll pretend I'm on some kind of medical equipment. Every time they try and check it, I'll go, ah, like that. They will not check. And then as soon as I get in, I will throw it in the fucking ring, right?
And it'll be Triple H's
this
hammer.
This is more something that has actually, I've been thinking about this for about a year. RevPro, great guys. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Sealed water. You've got to let people take it in.
Yeah, but...
It's fucking crazy.
But that's
it's not me paying for it.
I
can't get to the bar.
I don't think it's a RevPro route. It'll be the landlord, because they don't like... they don't like sealed things, because you can throw them.
Yeah. You know how...
But if you undo them, they become super light. They float to the ceiling. Don't they?
They won't even undo it and let you take them in. They just put them in a big bin. I mean, it's mental.
What happens to that bin? Probably sell it.
Exactly.
That gold.
There's literally a newsagent next door to York Hall. And let me tell you, when I've been in there, it's overstuffed. It's overstuffed, I swear to God.
With disparate bottles.
Totally different
There's
ones.
There's a Vittel.
Totally
There's some,
different.
Some different...
All I'm going to say is, after the lockdown, you know, things are going to be different. Things are going to be different.
Yeah.
And what would be a good idea is that RevPro say there's a lot of things we obviously need to work out.
Yeah.
If we go ahead, the number one on that list is regarding the policy of York Hall and sealed water.
I will bring in four... bottles of 1993's finest Dasani Coca-Cola bottled water.
Yeah, the ones that came from Peckham, good.
Yeah.
Look, this is an important thing for me. We do quite a lot of WrestleMe on Patreon.
Yes.
It was very important to me that this rant was on the free-to-air one, because I think it needs to be heard by a lot of people. So here we are, talking about the best match.
Don't listen to me, it's always vodka.
In WrestleMania.
It's always vodka, he's got a problem.
It's vodka, and I try and light it, and I chuck it at wrestlers. That I do and don't like. I spent my whole time arguing with
the
door staff.
He's got an oily rag. He's got oily petrol socks. He's always wearing a neckerchief like David Essex.
I'm constantly just... I'm running up. I'm trying to push past them. When they try and stop me getting in, I go, don't fucking touch me, man. Don't fucking touch me.
What's the accent?
It's one I do so that they will never be able to ascertain my true identity. While I'm doing that, I will also then, behind my own hand, begin going, he's got a point.
He's got a really good point.
Leave him alone and let him go in with his petrol or water. this is a good match. Beyond belief how good this is. The Hell in the Cell always promised so much because of the King in the Ring 98 when Mick Foley was thrown off the top of it. Mm-hmm. And whenever they had King of the Hell in the Cell matches, there was always the sense that the audience wanted far more than can be delivered because they were like, do you not be great now? Throw him off the fucking top a mile out of the stadium. They're always that. Just bring it down right over his fucking head and have his head come off and roll away. And WWE had spent a long time trying to re-educate people to go that Hell in the Cell is going to be brutal, but it's not going to be stunts and craziness. And by this point, it's not been used so much over the last few years. There's a pay-per-view that runs Hell in the Cell. But when they get sort of people of Triple H and Undertaker's stature in there, they have a properly brutal match. Mm. And it's a really exciting thing to see. Triple H really, really goes in for it. Undertaker with his shaved head now, which is the sort of first indication that he's getting old. There's something about his existing look, his hair, which clearly doesn't cut the mustard anymore.
No.
So he's and had his, to go and his, and his breast, back to basics.
And his pectoral muscles are making a break for it.
Aren't they?
Making a break for the armpit.
Aren't they? But he can still go in
fucking
this.
Go.
There is, you know... The problem with this for me is when you're no longer classic Undertaker, you've become, not to the Coke analogy, but you've become new Undertaker. And new Undertaker is a guy who takes part in spectacles that this is the start of the diminishing returns. Mm. And so when I see him come out in this one, this really seems to me the last Undertaker match that I've seen where I don't go, oh, the cracks are starting to show.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And this feels like, in that way, it really is the end of an era. It's the last time he did a match where you didn't go, oh, is he getting a bit old now? Mm. You know, this was astonishing. And the physicality of this was very much at odds of everything we've seen in the last few years during the sort of PG era.
Yeah.
You know, really thumpy and really sort of, you know, knockabout. Undertaker's look in this, he comes out in that big coat that's a sort of, again, he reinvents himself every WrestleMania now.
Yeah.
He's no longer ever coming out and going, oh, that's the Undertaker we know and love. In this, he looks a bit like... He's got that big sort of like duffel coat, leather jacket thing.
It's like he's added bits of it, of previous costumes to
it. It looks a bit like there's some luggage in there and, you know, a dressing gown that he loves.
Bottle of water.
And, could be petrol. But he also is facing this because he's got the sort of eye makeup and the sort of shaved head mohawk. He suddenly looks like a lot of old British wrestlers. And he's got that look of like a British wrestler who now runs a really rough pub in Kent, who is coming out and he's a former squaddie and he's doing, you know, this one big match for a payday. And there's something about it that always puts me in the mind of Shane Meadows when I see him do this. I'm always like, he's always going a little bit beyond what he should do and it always looks a little bit scrubby. I don't know what it is. Just a thing. It's just the match itself is phenomenal.
It's perfect, and it's sort of like because it starts so weirdly. Because Triple H, I think, started to really look his age as well. Certainly, facially,
yeah.
He's putting a bit of weight in his face, so he looks a bit doy. But like, so for me, seeing him on this journey from being a preppy kind of fresh faced guy into being this grizzled veteran,
a sort of like light version of Greg Valentine.
Yeah, exactly. But at least one of them had a hammer. Did the other one have a hammer?
They both had a hammer.
Yeah. Did he use it properly?
No, he never actually had a physical hammer.
Right.
He only called himself the hammer, although we never saw the hammer. Maybe he'd left it under the ring all that time.
Triple H found it.
One day when I'm older, I'm going to get that fucking hammer finally.
It starts in a rather undignified manner because he comes to, we're around about the time of season one of Game of Thrones, I noted.
Right.
Does Triple H lean into that kind of like Night King kind of bollocks?
He does, yeah.
Right, does he? Okay.
He begins a long period of as the King of Kings.
Right.
And as soon as you start doing Kings and he's sitting in a throne and it's very furry.
I just thought, right, that looked a bit
stone
too,
thrones.
Because obviously back then Game of Thrones wasn't that big. It was the first season. It was the bastard era, obviously, of Game of Thrones. But like, And it will obviously go on to be massive. So I just thought, that's perfect for Triple H. He'll no doubt lean into that.
Yeah, it tied in with their sort of, I think his real thing was Conan the Barbarian. That was a sort of, that I am this strong king. Mm. But yeah, Game of Thrones comes along and they nick that wholesale.
And Shawn Michaels coming out. The most undignified dance.
Yeah.
From, what's he up to there?
He's sort of half doing sexy boy, but he's like, but the dignity of being a WWF referee means it's I can't so fully weird. Commit to it. So I'll just skip about.
He's like a little boy at a wedding.
It's strange, isn't it?
But he does lend so much to this because he's pleading with Taker to go and
don't
he's doing
stop it. Do not stop it.
Stop. And he's doing all the facials and he's the crowd in the ring and he's oh man, it's
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good.
There's some funny stuff in this where you sort of go, they've obviously made the decision to say to them, we're going to mic up the ring, so we're going to hear what you say.
So
make sure you deliver your lines and the story.
And the cameras are on it, and it's just, the cameras are on it. Every time that a line needs to be delivered, the camera's there.
Yeah. What's brilliant about this, and again, that storytelling thing, is you have all the signs that say 20-0, and yet, for I'd say two-thirds of this sort of second part of this match, the crowd are absolutely sure that Triple H is going to win.
Yeah.
And it's just a really well... I've talked about this before, about the era of everybody kicking out of finishes and these constant false finishes, but it gets such a big reaction here at a time when it doesn't happen very often that it's just fantastic. You have Triple H in the sort of last bit, he gets his sledgehammer. And at that moment, the crowd begin to get concerned because Triple H obviously lost last year.
Yeah.
And how he lost last year was in the Hell's Gate, and he reaches for his sledgehammer and he wants to use it to get out of it, but he drops it and taps out.
Yeah.
So wrestling loves its echoes.
Mm.
And so he gets in the Hell's Gate again. He's got the sledgehammer and it just, you know, it's going to play out differently.
Mm.
And people are beginning to go, oh, well, if it plays out differently, he's going to win. They constantly get two counts that absolutely wreck the crowd.
They cannot believe it.
And as it gets more convoluted, with Shawn Michaels becoming involved and sledgehammers going from here to there, there is the sense of the audience of going, like we've talked about in the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, there's a sense of them going, oh, right, OK, so this is how it ends without Undertaker looking. No, Undertaker's going to win. No, he didn't. Oh, right. Okay, so this is how it's going to end.
Taker's back is just destroyed with chair shots. Like, it's
so bruised up.
Bright red.
So
bright red.
Up. Yeah.
And to be fair to Triple H, I hate his hammer, but the one time I've seen him looking like he's about to smash Jagger's head in like a fucking watermelon.
He would have killed him.
Immediately killed him. Like, I kind of wanted him to just smash Taker's head into a million, just stove it in. Because he had it, he had it over his butt.
One guy in row three. Boring.
He had it over his head like you would actually swing.
Yeah.
I've never, you rarely see him use it like you're supposed to use it. Yeah. He absolutely just bash his head in.
Yeah.
I wanted him to do it. There was a part of me, there was a deep-seated, weird part of me that wanted Undertaker's head to be splattered.
He's a dead man already.
He's a dead
it's not going to be a crime. The worst crime you get is interfering with a corpse. For something you've already done with Katie Vick in 2002 and you could have scot-free. There was a funny bit with that where I was like, well, Undertaker is supernatural anyway, so yeah, smash his fucking head in. Does it make a difference? Do it.
He'll get up again.
But there's a bit where the Triple H early on does a face buster, which is where you grab their face on your knee and you sort of jump into it. And the Undertaker just sits up. And the commentary goes, face buster by the game didn't affect the Undertaker. Why not?
Why?
Right? If that specific move doesn't affect him, right, then what move does?
No,
oh,
exactly.
Face buster doesn't work in the Undertaker. Why is that? I don't know. Just doesn't. But like that, smash his fucking cave his head in. Cave it in.
How does Triple H... It would stop me wrestling. I'd be in the middle of the wrestling match. I'd be like, which side of the ring did I put the hammer? Because it's one in four chance and I've forgotten.
Oh, absolutely.
I've fucking forgotten.
Imagine that. There have been wrestling matches over the years, certainly, where people look for things under the ring and they're not there.
And they're not.
I mean, and I seem to remember Hardcore Holly. I can picture him looking frantically around, things like that, you know.
There's just nothing.
It just happens.
It's just
you know?
An old football.
Nothing.
It just prints out. It's like, oh, God.
The a bag of Mr. Perfect shit. The bit with the sledgehammer, where he holds it up, Shawn Michaels stops it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is the first bit where Shawn Michaels begins to get sort of involved.
Mm.
And again, there's always that sense of, oh, okay, so he's doing this. But all that's doing is it's setting up the fact that he's going to screw The Undertaker later.
Yeah.
Because it's playing into this longer angle of The Undertaker beat him and then retired him.
Yeah.
So of course he's going to want to be out for revenge and he's got his best mate there. And they do really well to not go for that obvious thing. It would have been terrible if the streak was ended here.
Yeah.
You know, although I think on the night, the crowd would have been absolutely, you know, this is great and everything, and it wouldn't have seemed like as big a deal, you know, but it seemed like if there was a night to end it, of everything that we watched so far, this wouldn't have been a bad one because it was such a good match.
Really, really good match.
The crowd are chanting, this is awesome, that everyone's getting kickouts at the last minute or two, and the crowd are sort of beginning to just, they don't care who wins, they're just loving this match so much.
Oh, like I thought when, you know, you get pulled in, you know, wrestling a little bit, and the real referee, a real referee, not the Heartbreak Kid, runs in and he unlocks the door, and then because the real referee's in, the shoulders are going to go down. It's going to be a but the shoulder comes up and you're like, oh my fucking Christ, and it just goes up and up and up, and everyone's saying goodbye to their childhoods and everyone's just going, fucking no, God, no.
There's a bit where the Undertaker finally, after all of this stuff, and I think you've had a choke slam that Triple H kicks out on that two count, and that two count is unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's the Undertaker then choke slams the referee, who's called Charles Robinson, and he choke slams him, and it's the one bit in the match that doesn't go to plan, because Charles Robinson is tiny and for some reason he doesn't quite jump with the chokeslam, and it makes it look like Undertaker's had real difficulty in chokeslamming a tiny man. Just really sort of, it takes you out of a bit. You're like, oh, that's okay, so everyone's working together. I forgot. I remember again now. But then they have this tombstone bit, and Shawn Michaels, he ends up super kicking the Undertaker, and Undertaker kicks out, and no one is sure what's going to happen next, but Undertaker finally gets Triple H in a tombstone, and Triple H hits him with a pedigree, and Undertaker, you know, because there's been the super kick and all the kickouts, that's how it was done. It was done in a big schmurr, and then Undertaker is obviously losing, and he can't, you know, but he was still the better man, but no, he still kicks out, and it still goes, and every time there's a kickout, the audience just get bigger and bigger. There's a shot of the crowd, and it's when one of the kickouts happens, and the crowd are just like knocked back. They're just up, all up as one. Fuck!
You Everyone's know? Forgotten about their signs. They're like, oh, God, I don't even care.
It was thrilling. And it's a good storytelling match, this, you know, with all of those threads coming together, and it ends with the right decision. And, you know, Michael's having to count down his best friend in the match against the man who retired him, and he looks sort of heartbroken and upset. And it was just, you know, you forget about matches like this that are that good, and you tend to get into a lazy sort of mindset a lot of the time as a wrestling fan. Your Triple H matches are over long. There's not actually been a decent Hell in the Cell match, I think, and it's since 97. But then you watch something like this and you go, fuck me, that is what wrestling's about. Yeah. That is so much fun. So much better than last year's as well, which I really wasn't expecting. I often think, like, you know, you when you get a gimmick match, it can be less good than the pure version, if you like. And I thought the introduction of the Hell in the Cell would actually make this a little bit more boring than last year.
Mm.
And I love the fact that the cell didn't really play into it.
No.
Beyond the fact that it just kept them in there to do their thing and be really brutal.
Mm.
And it sort of announced ahead of the time, it sort of went, this is going to be hard hitting. And it just worked perfectly. I thought it was absolutely knockout.
Undertaker probably just asked for Hell in the Cell so he didn't have to do that leap over the top. Because yeah. I keep nearly killing myself.
Yeah. There's one way. Just keep me in. I'm my own worst enemy. I'm my own worst. As soon as I'm out there, it's just, you know, Dr. Theatre takes over.
Oh, man, that was a good match. I really enjoyed it.
A quick run through the Hall of Fame very quickly.
Let's do the Hall of Fame. Lovely old job.
This was one of the first Hall of Fames they didn't actually televise in any way live. And people were a bit upset about that. At the time. Some little interesting things they put in the Four Horsemen, who are J.J. Dillon, the manager, Tully Blanchard, Barry Windham, Arn Anderson, and Ric Flair. That gives Ric Flair a second Hall of Fame ring. Yep. What they have at this point is Ric Flair is not working for WWE. In fact, Ric Flair is working for TNA. So WWE had to, they wanted basically to induct Flair, so they had to deal with TNA. How they did this was they began advertising that Ric Flair would be there at the Hall of Fame, even though he was under TNA contract.
Right.
Now, that was not the best thing to do.
It's a bold gambit, isn't it?
It is. Not long after his induction, Ric Flair tried to break his contract with TNA to go back to WWE. And that formed the basis of an actual contract tampering lawsuit that TNA had against the WWE. So in an attempt to sort of calm the waters and get Flair onto the Hall of Fame telecast, WWE allowed TNA to take back Christian for a pay-per-view, the Slammiversary pay-per-view in June.
It's the Andy Cole, Keith Gillespie deal.
Yeah, and at the time Christian went back, he was the Intercontinental Champion in WWE.
Oh, lovely.
And he did a countdown of the sort of best TNA moments. They didn't let him wrestle.
Right, okay.
But they leased him
they
out.
They leased
him. And it's quite interesting because they were proper, you know, rivals, and TNA at the time was pretty much the only viable wrestling company in the US who could have said that they were possible, you know, a competition.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting time when they did that. But they wanted Flair that badly, they were willing to do some swapsies.
Yeah.
Edge is put into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He got the on the actual night at WrestleMania where they all come out, he gets the end position, which when you've got the Four Horsemen there, and to some degree Mike Tyson, it seems sort of surprising he would be the last person. He gets very emotional on the live thing and he really wells up. And part of that is because he's basically been retired a single year. At the time, it was a bit controversial how quickly he'd gone in. I think people were sort of like, well, even if he never wrestles again, did he have to go in this year?
Mm.
This was the first year of the Hall of Fame that took place after the death of Randy Savage. So Savage had died in 2011 in May.
Right.
And this was in April 2012. So I think there was a sense of, you know, wouldn't this have been the right time to do the Macho Man?
Yeah.
Don't know if the family were approached at that time, but they certainly turned it down a couple of times to put Randy into the Hall of Fame.
Macho Man's family?
Yeah, so they approached Lanny Poffo, and certainly there were deals over the years that, you know, he'd said Randy didn't want to go into the Hall of Fame on his own. He'd have wanted his father, Angelo Poffo, to go in the Hall of Fame, and also his brother, me, Leaping Lanny Poffo. I think the WWE very much liked it. I know it's just a joke Hall of Fame, but there is no way the genius is going into the Hall of Fame. So I think they were,
a young man from
I am never in the Hall of Fame. You will not hear my name again. But also The Ultimate Warrior and Bruno Sammartino, who were two of the biggest WWE champions of their times.
Yep.
They also weren't in the Hall of Fame. So I think there was a certain sense of, oh, they've rushed Edge in, and yet there's some big gaps.
Right.
Look, time has erased all of those concerns. All of those men have ended up in the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
And You know, Edge is suddenly back.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought? You know?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's sort of amazing. Mil Máscaras, the great Lucha Libre star, probably the first legitimate Lucha Libre star to ever perform in Madison Square Garden. And he was a worldwide star, Mil Máscaras. Also famous for never wanting to lose to the detriment of many a booker's programs. Ron Simmons goes in. Lovely Ron. Yokozuna, who is inducted after his death. Mm. And Mike Tyson.
Mm.
Mike Tyson is a difficult one. He is a very, very important figure in the whole Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And the getting over of Austin. You know, he was a big, big needle mover when they had him on Raw.
Mm.
They also aligned him with that sense of being the baddest man on the planet, and yet Stone Cold Steve Austin was sort of, you know, right there with him the whole time.
Mm.
You know, he was an important part of it. He, in his Hall of Fame speech that they show a clip of here, he says, I want to be a wrestler, but I got arrested. And they all really laugh at that. And
yeah, John Cena finding the jokes of a tier two sex offender.
I worry that it's been edited to make it look like Cena is laughing at that joke.
Yeah.
They've taken other bits where people are being really funny
and
they've spliced it all together. But the problem is the editor has made it look like certain people are laughing at a man who's
talking about raping a woman.
Why was he arrested? That's right, yeah. He was convicted of rape in 1991 when he was a huge, huge star. And seeing that joke being applauded, you know.
Yeah.
It's too easy to go, oh, that's nice, he's got a sense of humour. But then you don't go, and what was the arrest for? You go, oh, I don't know, was it sort of like DUI or something? Or he had problems with the press, didn't he?
Was it Wesley Snipes tax? Something like that?
Yeah, No. It was much worse than that. Number of things throughout his career as well that, you know, ex-wives will talk about the treatment they receive.
Yeah.
It sounds, which he does not deny.
Nope.
It's a hard one, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's wrestling. There's a lot of people. If you start, you know, going, you can't go into Hall of Fame because of the sort of human being you are.
Yeah.
We've got an empty Hall of Fame. It's just got John Cena in, you know.
Well, you know,
and poor Alex Riley on the outside going, actually, he shouldn't be in there.
A lot of Beats headphones got sold off the back of people like Dr. Dre.
So, true that.
Push women downstairs.
True.
Good.
Quick little clip with Heath Slater, who goes up and meets Flo Rida. Flo Rida's about 3 inches taller than Heath Slater, the actual wrestler.
So tall.
Later, he takes his top off. He's absolutely stacked and built. He has no embarrassment about being at WrestleMania and not going, I have an equally good body. Well done. He then beats up Heath Slater and his security run out and drag him away. Wrestlers do not have security even at their own event.
Right.
They are left alone to be beaten up by special guests. And out come Tyler Rex and Kurt Hawkins. And the line they get given is they have to sit there. And remember, this is a WWE program. I don't know why they feel the need to get Flo Rida over. But once Flo Rida has beaten to death one of the people who they will not fire until earlier this year, two people come along and their lines are, he just laid you out. Oh, he really laid you out. Amazing. Why didn't you have one of them say, do you know the other thing is, this company, the catering is shit. They have a really shit caterer. Oh, classy. Well done, everyone.
Man. I love it.
So that is, look, I reckon this is part two of four of WrestleMania 28.
Mm.
It's a good WrestleMania. There are a lot of fun bits. Actually, some of the little bits that are in between, like those Flo Rida bits, I actually really like. I think they're
they fun
and fun. They're stupid. I do like the sort of, it doesn't make any sense in a grand booking thing, but look, I don't have to care about that.
No, I don't care.
I'm
about
not part of the WWE's makeup.
So
I'm not part of their industry. And do you know what? Seeing the way they're acting during the pandemic, don't think I ever want to be. You know who I want to work for? New Japan or Ring of Honor. Both of those people have said to the wrestlers, we're not putting on any shows, but you can stay at home and we will pay you proper money.
Good boys and
because
girls.
Because we respect you.
Yes.
I'm sure by the time this comes out, that will have changed. And I'm sure one of them will be doing something I very much disagree with heartily. And you are more than welcome to get on to Twitter and just say, I think that's a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit of a shame, you saying they were noble.
But
they literally skinned a panda.
But if you do want to get a touch, with us about this, the New Japan skinning a panda and filming it and recording it for posterity, do get in touch via the Patreon.
Do.
We don't want to hear about it on Twitter, any of the free ways of getting in touch.
Do you know what I'm going to start doing? If people have queries and stuff on Twitter,
yeah.
I'm not going to reply anymore.
No.
I've got what I call my money daddies to talk to.
Money daddies. Patreon.com/WrestleMe. More of this shit every week. A newsletter. Ad-free WrestleMe. You've got the information. You just need to visit that bit. We're going to be talking about P. Diddy in a bit, probably. See you next week. Bye.
Bye, WrestleMe.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.